All right, let's get the personnel or the finance committee going here. We're going to need adoption of the amendment of agenda.
And I do have one item to amend, maybe as item 7.5 or 8.
And that's going to be.
And that's issues with the St. Cloud heating and cooling system. I just want to bring you up to speed.
We'll call it 7.5.
Sure.
Okay, and then let's elect the finance committee.
Do we have to move the agenda?
Yes.
So moved.
Second it.
All right, we got a motion to set, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There you go, thank you. Elect finance committee.
We need a chairperson.
Yeah, a chairperson, and I'm not going to, because I got a little medical problems here, so I don't want to be it.
Why nominate Lisa?
Second.
We got a nomination for Lisa.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Any other nominations?
I move nomination cease and desist.
All right.
Question, Aaron, can you work with me?
Of course.
All right, those in favor for Lisa to be the chair?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Cheers.
Thank you. So moving on to item number 4, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the January 16th meeting.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes of the January 16th meeting.
Motion made. Is there
I'll
a second?
I'll second it.
And there's a second. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. Moving on to agenda item number 5, looking at the proposed 2019 budget process guidelines in your packet. We also, this is an action item. So I will turn this over to Karen to start.
Sure. So this is the process we followed the last couple of years for our base budgeting. This set of guidelines is what we've used in previous years. If there's something the board would want to add to the guidelines or change in the guidelines, now would be the time to do it. Basically, Aaron will prepare all of the estimates for the payroll and benefit costs for 2019. The estimates will include all positions as they're budgeted currently, whether they're vacant or filled. And then because we have a wage and benefits reopener in 2019, the base budget document would not include any increases to those costs, just so that you as a board have a year over year comparison of what it would cost to do business the same next year. And any increases that would be included would be things like increases to our vendor payments where we have a contract. So, for example, if our ebook overdrive contract has a 3% increase, that would be built into the base budget as an inflationary measure. And any increases in memberships that we're required to have as a library. And then other things that would be incorporated into the base budget is, for example, if ADP, the cost per employee to have people on payroll would be an anticipated increase, that would be in the base budget. Any other commodity increases would also be incorporated. And then routine replacement of existing equipment would be part of the capital line. And all of the departments will be bringing their revenues if they expect changes. So, for example, if fines and fees is projected to be an increase or a decrease, that would be built into the base budget. That is what you would be presented in March, if you look at the timeline on page 9. And after you review the base budget at the April Finance Committee meeting, the Finance Committee would review any budget requests. And that would come from individual department heads, and they would follow the criteria that are outlined here. So if someone's asking for a new position, they would have to justify it based on staffing calculator recommendations, for example, or any costs associated with adding a position would also include, like, if they needed a computer. And if we have any reasons for legal compliance or in order to ask for that funding increase, that would be included. Any changes in business activity projected, so if we're asking for an increase in collection, what that would the outcome would be expected to be. So that would be at the April meeting. If you want different criteria or guidelines, please let us know what that is. But as those pieces are pulled together, we'll do the base budget in March, and then the department budget requests in April, then a preliminary budget in May. And the full board would see the preliminary budget. Granted, they're all open meeting documents, but the finance committee would be having those discussions leading up to the May meeting. The final budget would then be approved in July. Our joint powers agreement does require that there is a budget set by August 1st. So do you have any questions about that process? I know it's new to some people and not so new to others. So,
Madam Chair. Just for your information, you know, we struggled with the budget for a few years, and this was a scenario that came up in Benton County. Mm-hmm. Monty brought this up, and everybody seemed to embrace it, endorse it, and it seems to be working. Mm-hmm. So no sense fixing if it's not broken.
So, and is it my understanding last year was the first year using this model?
That was
or
the
has it
second.
Been
year,
two
second, yeah.
years. Okay. So
the
anyway.
First year we started kind of, Madam Chair, kind of halfway, I think.
Right.
Didn't we? Halfway, yeah.
Any other questions or comments or things that the board would like to see changed?
I guess, Madam Chair, I'd like to ask if the staff or you would like to see any changes, and is the process working?
I think the process is working.
It's working great.
Okay.
One of the best changes about this is we used to have like weekly budget
right.
meetings of
the
leadership team pretty much from March until July, trying to figure out what the budget should be. And this is a lot more straightforward. It saves a lot of time. There is some crunching that Erin has to do right leading up to the two budget meetings. But other than that, there isn't a lot of pain points with this.
Good, thank you.
Okay, well then we would entertain a moment, motion to approve the proposed 2019 budget process guidelines.
So moved,
Madam
Chair.
So moved.
There's a first and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Moving on to agenda item number 6, also an action item before you, the collateral assignment change request. Turn this over to Erin Murphy.
So on the recommendation of our bank, Bremer, over here behind us, they were over here discussing some other financial things with us and brought up the change in collateral assignment. Basically what it is currently the way we do it right now is Bremer Bank has to pledge roughly $300,000 to secure our deposits in their bank. And they pledge these with other financial institutions. So currently ours is with Homer, Michigan Community School District is where it's being held. What they would like us to do is switch to what they call a letter of credit, meaning that letter of credit, they could start out with $500,000, and it can be reduced, it could be increased. It just they look at it every so often, I would imagine quarterly, and it fluctuates with our deposits. Since we don't have a steady stream of income, I mean, when taxes come in, it goes way up. When we expend those funds, they go way down. So a letter of credit is a better financial instrument to use for securing our deposits. I know what a letter of credit is, but I had never heard about using them for a government entity. So I did check with our auditors, and she said she read through the documents and got back to me and said that as long as the letter of credit is AAA rated, then we can go ahead and use it. Okay. And what it does is it also frees up additional monies for the bank to loan out to other people at lower rates. It frees up money for the bank. So what we're requesting is that we change from having the bank pledge our deposits with other entities and go with the letter of credit.
Okay, so any questions about this for Erin?
Hi, Madam Chair, I do. The letter of credit, is that also, what I don't like about letters of credit is kind of has the temptation that we can go out and reach into that and use credit for whatever we want if we get into some kind of financial problems. I don't think this is the case, right?
Right.
No, that's a line of credit.
Line of credit. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I knew the difference. So
yep. You're on the right page.
All right. So I don't want to be don't want us to have our neck stick out there where we have a line of credit. And
no. We're not in a position to need one.
Okay. I know we aren't. That's why I was wondering. Thank you.
Dave's all about keeping people's fingers out of the cookie jar.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Madam Chair, I have a question on page 13. It gives the rating of A, small letter A, small letter A. Does that make a difference between capital A and small letter A?
No, it does not.
Okay.
Other questions?
Madam Chair, one question. Mm-hmm. Okay, switching from Michigan Homework Mission and Michigan Community School District, what kind of notice do you have to do? Is that, can that happen any time, or is you got to give a 30-day notice or anything like that? Or
The bank just closes it out.
Close it out and transfers over.
And transfers it to a letter of credit and then supplies us with a letter of credit showing that they're securing our deposits and what amount. And it gives the letter number. And so they're like in your packet here too is like samples of what the letter of credit looks like. And these will be in put in with every year's audit. And also they will have to be approved every year. Just like the collateral pledges were approved every year in January. Okay. So they'll look like this going forward.
Okay. Others?
Madam Chair, on page 15, the second to last paragraph talks about long-term earnings risk. Its top five advantage borrowers represent 51%. That's an awful lot of money to have tied up in five when normally it's 11. You read further. The average is 36%. Are we concerned about that?
I'm sorry, where are you looking again?
Page 15, the next to the last paragraph, the first last sentence, it says, its top five advance borrowers represent 51% of the total assets. Now, and if you consider it considerably higher than the 36.4 average for the other 11 banks. I just mentioning that they have their top five borrowers have 51% of their assets, it looks like, with them. And we're always taught to diversify, which would mean sooner, I think, have more 11 borrowers instead of five be 51%. That's all I'm getting at.
It is a pretty industry standard number, but it could be lower, of course. I would have to follow through with the bank on that part and if you would like me to dig into that further. I don't think there's any risk there.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, to answer Jim, in the paragraph before that, Moody's believes that the asset quality of the FHL Bank of Des Moines is exceptional. So obviously the people that are borrowing are of a higher caliber than your junk bond status
of course.
Something. So they obviously got that caveat in there that because they knew this was coming up, and we asked questions, so they're exceptional. Take it with a grain of salt, but at least it's not the Orange County, California, or something like that with junk bond derivatives.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't think Bramer Bank is going to put us at risk.
No, they're not.
So.
I think so. So with that, I would entertain a motion to approve a change in collateral assignment from collateral pledge to a letter of credit.
So moved.
Here's a first.
Second.
And a second. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Moving us on then to agenda item number 7, just a verbal information only audit outtake meeting attendance request.
So the audit outtake meeting, I believe, is going to be April 13th, I think. I don't have it in front of me, but we were kind of wondering who from the board or the finance committee would like to attend also with me and Karen.
I'll double check the date.
Yeah, the date is important, which one it is for me.
I believe it's the 13th.
Karen. That's a Friday?
I believe so.
Okay. I don't have it on my calendar.
Uh-oh.
That would be good Friday.
The 5th or the 6th.
I'm sorry. You're right. It was the 6th, Patty. Thank you.
The 6th. Oh, I won't be here. I am, and if it's the 13th, I'm not here. So,
It wasn't a firm date, Lisa. It was just...
So we could adjust the date based on everyone who wants to be there, their availability also.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know that we were exactly deciding on a date today, were we? I think we were...
Just gauging interest.
Gauging interest.
Okay. In the past, who has attended?
Spencer was there.
The chair and the chair of the finance committee, the chair of the board and the chair of the finance committee.
I attended last year.
Jim was there last year.
Jim has attended too. So.
I've attended three of them, I think, yeah, two of them for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, as a chair of the finance committee the last 2 years, and then Dave's attended.
As a chair of the board, I attended the last two years. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Is that, do you believe, the desire of the staff to have three of us?
It's the interest of the board.
I think at a minimum, that's who should attend, Madam Chair, but others can attend if they wish. I mean, that's the more the...
Nothing set
right,
in the bylaws.
We don't set a limit. It's just the... Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't we go with that again, that I will attend...
What date is that again?
Randy, we don't have a date yet, so if you could get something out to us about a date, that would be helpful.
Helpful option.
And I'll be interested as well.
Will do.
Okay.
And you're interested too, Jim?
Yeah.
Any others?
So, Lisa, Jim.
Freeze Bunny.
Yep.
Randy, too?
Randy also.
Randy, Lisa, and Jim.
Sorry, Lisa, Jim, and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to 7A or 7.5, St. Cloud Heating and Cooling.
So I don't have a lot of details about the situation because it's still developing. Within the last week, we had a failure of the cooling system on the building that appears to be at least partially human caused. So I met with the public works head today, or assistant public works director, Stephen Lawrence, who came to our November meeting. And the city has looked into their insurance covering the failure of the system because it looks like it will cost between $35,000 and $50,000 to fix. It looks also like their insurance deductible will be $100,000 in this instance, so is likely not to cover it. And they may be looking at Great River for some support here, partly because they suspect that some of our staff were involved in causing the failure. I'm still learning more information about it. I have yet to check with our legal counsel or our insurer to see how they might be involved, and I haven't spoken directly with the city administrator yet. We are scheduled to meet on Friday about the lease, so I expect that conversation will happen. I will keep you informed as that develops, and if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them now, but I don't have a lot of information yet.
Please explain exactly what it is that went failed.
That is more challenging because I don't truly understand HVAC systems, but there was a situation where the building was warmer than it probably should have been, and it caused a staff member to override controls in order to activate the cooling system, which caused the cooling system to freeze up because there wasn't glycol in the system. And there was a fire incident. Well, it wasn't a fire. It caused the fire system to be activated down in the basement. There was a lot of damage to the cooling system as a result. So that's why the building's a little bit warmer today. There's not a lot of detail that I have right now, partly because they're still trying to untangle what happened and what caused what. But that's the initial summary that I received from the city just this afternoon.
But what we do know is it wasn't malicious or intentional.
It was not malicious.
It just happened.
The question I have is, why did any staff member have that level of override on a system? a system should stop someone from doing that kind of action, and it didn't. So I'm still working on that question alone.
Madam Chair, why wouldn't our staff notify our maintenance?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it our maintenance that did
this? Well, that's where I don't have all the details yet. St. Cloud Refrigeration is the maintenance holder on the heating and cooling system. I don't know who was all contacted when between Public Works, our staff, and St. Cloud Refrig, whether, you know, the timing of a weekend might have impacted who answered what when.
You have a an HVAC system as complicated and as big as this, it should always be a standard policy. Don't monkey. Call the people that
right.
know.
So. Right. And it just reinforces that
yeah.
it would really be best to clean up that lease yeah. sooner rather than later. And we had the meeting scheduled on Friday, so the timing of the meeting will be good. I don't know how quickly we'll get the situation resolved, but I did wanted to bring it to your attention because I did get official, well, informal notice from the Public Works Department today. So.
Okay. So please keep us updated on that.
Yeah.
We just spent a bunch of money on the boiler system. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now the building's mm-hmm. too hot. So it's really unfortunate. Luckily, no one was hurt. And luckily, we still have a building standing afterward. From what I'm hearing, it could have been pretty serious. Because if anyone had been in the vicinity of the system when the failure happened, they could have been scalded and potentially been killed with the amount of pressure that was released from the system at the time. So.
Wow. Okay, any other questions for Karen? Okay, our next meeting is March 20th here at 5 p.m. And since we are done with our business, our meeting is adjourned.